The Inferior Creation and Its Regent 83. 84 Lectures ONANCEN TP Helosophy. The world must carry within the darkness of its own nature. For 9 philosophic months that mortal who is to be born into life and unfoldment through the substance of higher spheres. In ancient philosophy this physical universe is referred to as a great egg wherein all manners of creatures are passing through prenatal epochs. People have the mistaken idea that when they come into physical existence they are born in their ego-tism. They have forgotten that all mortal things are embryo gods who cannot achieve to divinity until they have transcended every vestige of mortality. Every living thing is an embryo. In some previous embryonic state we lost our gills and caudal appendage. The webs of our fingers and toes were also cut, and our tongues loosened, but even with these evidences of progress we come into this world imperfect and incomplete. Or, as the theologian would say, we are conceived in sin and born in iniquity. This statement has no reference to Indies Cretians of our ancestors but to the philosophic fact that the mortal universe, when compared to the transcendency of the higher worlds, is a sphere of sin and death. By physical birth, we have merely exchanged the amniotic fluids of the womb for the somewhat less dense atmospheric fluids of the world. We are still bound to the earth by an umbilical cord of sense, interest, and desire, and not until through the development of our discerning faculties we acquire the power to sever this bondage to the inferior nature can it be said that we are really born. This great egg surrounding the material sphere has for its inner surface that canopy of the heavens which man vainly seeks to explore with high-powered telescopes. With each improvement in equipment he is enabled to penetrate a little farther into the blue haze of space. He always reaches a point, however, where vision fails and impenetrable space goes on. The moment man arrives at the limit of his own faculties, he reaches the walls of a hypothetical sphere that hem him in and isolate him from the rest of being. The Hermetist likened the physical universe to a glass globe in which were contained numberless vapors and seething forces. The Inferior Creator and Its Regent 85. As the agonies of chemical change may be viewed through the walls of the test tube, so, like the Bunsen burner, that mysterious power called cosmic urge unceasingly agitates the chemicals contained within the globe of physical existence. While enclosed within this impenetrable shell man cannot conceive of a universe beyond, of a state nobler or more enduring than his present state. Life is thus composed of a host of creatures, seemingly like atoms in space whirling round and round forever with in this crystalline shell of the universal egg. At last, however, comes the great day, be with us, when the egg of the universe is broken and the substances therein imprisoned flow back once more into their first and primitive absoluteness. Thus, floating upon the face of absolute being is a finite globe, destined to remain for a little while. This globe is the vast material universe of countless worlds and suns which overwhelms us with its immensity but which, when compared with the absolute limitlessness of space, is of pygmy proportions. Though but an atom within the tortured body of this globe, humanity cherishes its dream of existence, striving with the feeble fingers of its mind to grasp the threads of universal wisdom by which the globe is held suspended from its unknown source. Although this globe filled with the contents of material existence is being hurled through space to ultimate destruction, the secret philosophy of the ancients taught that it was possible for the individual to free himself from the swirling mass and by right of his own divinity break through the shell of the world egg and thereby achieve individual liberation. Upon this hypothesis nearly all the mysteries of antiquity were established, a notable exception being the Jewish, which taught that there was no liberation for one apart from all. Alchemy offers an excellent symbolic description of the processes of spiritual liberation. At this point, it is apropos to consider the philosophical definition of the word spirit. This has nothing in common with its accepted theological meaning. In philosophy, spirit is not the divine part of every nature considered as an individuality, but rather this divine part considered as one on. 86 lectures on ancientpe philosophy. Divided causal nature permeating all life. In the Buddhist philosophy, spirit and soul are considered part of the illusion of matter, in the sense that an individual who speaks of his spirit or his soul speaks without realization of the fact that there is but one spirit in the universe, and all so-called divisions of it are purely hypothetical. Hence, though there may be an infinity of bodies existing in the sphere of Maya, there is but one consciousness, which the Oriental mystic pleases to term the self. Of not selves there are myriads of self, but ope. To think of spirit as divided into a host of individual units, each embodied in a separate form, is to think in terms of error. To the mystic, the idea of the growth of his own spirit apart from the growth of the spirit of all is inconceivable. That which grows to the point where it bursts through the egg of existence is consequently not the spirit, but what the Greeks termed the rational soul, or the mental / nouer, which represents the highest form of individuality. It therefore follows that it is as impossible for one individual to have a spirit more highly evolved than another as for one area of the sea to be wetter than another. The degree of development is thus measured first by the extent to which the parts of the lower nature have been synchronized, and secondly by the interval of quality between them and their spiritual cause. No one has a consciousness higher than another, for there is but one consciousness in the universe. He who is presumed to have a higher consciousness is simply one whose organisms are fine enough to manifest more completely the potentialities of this single consciousness. Mankind may be considered as a vast organism, with one spirit or self manifesting through an infinite number of intellectual and physical organisms, the latter deluded into the belief that they are free and independent. On a still higher level, this composite spirit of all mankind, which is merely an expression of the universal spirit of all things, is deluded, in turn, by the concept that mankind is different and separate from the rest of universal being. Such terms as old and young, highly evolved and less evolved, spiritual and material, should be applied only to personalities and individualities, for in the sphere of consciousness they do not exist. As the Absolute is ageless, being all age, no part can technically be older than another. Hence difference is an illusion of the mind, but necessary, however, to the present evolution of life, yet without foundation in divine reality. To return to alchemy, self or spirit is the universal gold, the king of the metals. Gold exists in every clement of the universe, even the sunlight and the atmosphere contain minute quantities of this precious metal. The base substances surrounding this universal or spiritual gold are referred to as the lesser metals. The purpose of alchemical experimentation was to germinate that seed of universal gold, which when properly nurtured would take unto itself and tincture the base metals, absorbing them all into its own carat glory. Ultimately self, the only enduring state, thus absorbs into its own being all the phases of the not-self, touching them with its transmuting power. It causes them to become one with its own effulgence. According to the Greek terminology, the gold is the rational soul, and the transmutation process that of distilling the golden elixir from the base substances of ignorance and perversion. When you have gathered your proper elements, says the alchemist, you place them in a retort and hermetically seal it. You then begin the cycles of distillation, causing the chemicals to pass through an orderly sequence of increasing intensity until finally a point is reached where the elixir thus distilled seeps through the glass without injuring it and passes off like a hot oil, there being no container in the world sufficiently strong to hold it. The allegory is evident. The hermetically sealed vessel is the lower world, the way in and out stopped by the mysteries of birth and death. The chemicals are the heterogeneous mass of created things thrown together in a mysterious fashion. The cycles of distillation arc the processes of evolution, so called, by which the life is given ever fuller expression through regenerated vehicles and gradually released from irrationality. When the cycles of intensification have reached a certain stage, those beings who have attained to this point can no longer be held within the globe of the inferior creation, and the soul, THEINFERIORCREATORAND its REGENT 87. 88 Lectures ONANCIENT Philosophy seeps through the wall of the egg of existence or, as the Buddhist might say, enters nirvana. This is the rebirth out of the womb of necessity, this is the time when man releases himself from the bonds that bind him to the will of birth and death. He who has attained this end is rightly termed no longer a man but the philosopher's stone. According to the concept of mystical philosophy, every individual passes through two births and two deaths. At the time of the first, or lesser birth, man is born into the irrational sphere, where he becomes an objective manifesting creature but loses contact with the subjective spiritual spheres. Technically, therefore, this birth into the outer universe results in the death of the higher self, which must remain asleep in the tomb of material organisms until the great day of liberation.